AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Thousands of people are still stuck at airports across the country this morning as airlines cancel more flights. Southwest still scrapping the bulk of them. Our Tanya Rivero is at LaGuardia Airport in New York.
While the airline tries to reset now, thousands of passengers are still trying to find their way out of the travel mess. Kimberly Day is pregnant and traveling with her two children. They've been trying to get from Phoenix to New York to visit a sick relative. On Tuesday, Southwest told them it cannot rebook their flight until Saturday.
I'm just devastated on so many different levels, but we're trying to keep positive, but it's hard.
In upstate New York, authorities are checking homes buried in more than 50 inches of snow. Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz.
The National Guard started a mission today in which they are going door to door to do wellness checks in the neighborhoods that lost power. Every house.
At least 60 people have now died in this winter storm, most of them in New York. Parts of Kentucky don't have running water at all after frigid temperatures cause water lines to freeze and burst. Farmers Tom and Carol Vickers live near Lexington.
Maybe some of these people need to come here and hear, start hearing these cows bawl for water, and you're helpless. It's sad.
We got to do something because the cows just... they just can't go that long without any water.
Meantime, the West Coast is dealing with a ton of rain. Here's Weather Channel meteorologist Jim Cantore.
We are 30 to 50 degrees warmer than these temperatures were a week ago on each date. Rain and severe weather starts up tomorrow. It just keeps on moving east for New Year's Eve and for New Year's Day as well.
Pope Francis is asking for prayers for former Pope Benedict. CBS's Chris Livesay is in Rome.
The Vatican says that the former Pope Benedict is indeed suffering from what they're calling a, quote, aggravation due to old age. And that follows Pope Francis, who during his weekly general audience went out of his way to ask people to please pray for the, quote, very sick pontiff. And right after his general audience, the Vatican says Pope Francis went to visit Pope Benedict.
Pope Benedict is 95. A Florida ice cream maker's on notice now after the feds found links to Listeria. CBS's Alexander Tin.
The FDA has issued a new warning letter to Florida-based Big Olaf Creamery over, quote, serious violations of good manufacturing practices by the company. Their equipment and tubs of ice cream were contaminated by the bacteria, according to the regulator, and there were neither enough people or plans to address the issue.
16 of their 17 flavors were contaminated. This is CBS News.
If you're a business owner renting or leasing, you can save a ton of money and own a custom-designed building made by General Steel. Just call 888-74-STEEL and get a quote.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Adam Payne is Governor Evers' choice to be Wisconsin's new Department of Natural Resources Secretary. Payne has been Sheboygan County's administrator for more than two decades. He has a background in conservation and degrees from UW-Madison in communications and urban and regional planning. Payne replaces Preston Cole, who's retiring. Several zoos in Wisconsin say they'll recycle your Christmas tree. At the Marshfield Zoo, they say animals love to eat, root around in, or scratch on trees. Each zoo is different, but for the most part, they'll take trees as long as they don't have any tinsel, fake snow, spray paint, or any other harmful chemicals. In sports, the Badgers make Luke Fickell a winner in his debut as head football coach. Wisconsin beat Oklahoma State last night 24-17. Marquette beat Seton Hall last night, and the Bucks are at Chicago tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Are you dreading going into work every day? Do you want a career where you can earn more and feel appreciated? If you answered yes, then Sigma Castings, a division of Sigma Engineered Solutions in Marcus Ann and Jackson, is your answer. They are more than a company. They are a family of dedicated experts that span the continents. Here are a few ways they make you feel appreciated. Entry-level pay is $18 an hour with regular performance reviews. After 90 days, you get 80 hours of vacation plus 11 paid holidays. They will give you a $2,000 sign-on, stay-on bonus. They offer a robust benefit package with low premiums and great coverage, and their 401k will blow you away. Now hiring first shift, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Start your new career today at Sigma Castings in Marquezan and Jackson. Find them on Indeed or call 920-260-8560 and wake up happy to go to work.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Comedian, business owner, bearded American.
Don't just do it when you're drinking with your buddies. Because then it gets weird. Because then you just tell each other you love each other all the time. It gets annoying. Trust me, I've been that guy.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Wisconsin. Hello, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh, Amory, Richland Center, Waukesha. Everyone's streaming anywhere in the country. I don't know. Maybe there's someone in California listening right now. Hello, Jane.
Good morning.
And hello, Greg Bach.
It is Greg Bach because it's Wednesday day.
It is Wednesday, the hump day, the last Wednesday of 2022.
Oh, man. What are we going to do today? We're going to talk about stuff.
Going to talk about stuff. That is true.
Awesome.
What are we going to do today? So we are at, 12 o'clock? We're going to have Brett Poliquin from Habitat for Humanity, Waukesha.
Very cool.
He's going to be here to talk about different projects that they're doing, affordable housing when it comes to Waukesha. So that will be very fun. And then at 12:30, we're going to play. We have a lot of games today because it feels like a kind of a game kind of week.
Yeah.
So, the 10 most, you know, this is the week that everything comes down as far as the top lists, the best stories, the best inventions, yada, yada, yada. So the 10 most viral moments of the year, and I feel like viral means online. So I thought, you know, it's always fun when we have Greg here because I feel like we span four different generations. We have Jane as a boomer. We have you, who's Gen X. I am a millennial. And then Brooklyn is Gen Z. And it's kind of fun to see who knows what when it comes to pop culture. So I thought we'd play a little game to see, of these top viral moments, who remembers what?
Real quick question. Is there a list for best Wednesday co-hosts of a talk show, radio show in Wisconsin?
There is in my heart.
Oh, you.
And you win.
That was the best Christmas present ever.
Your friend, yes. Headliner.
Yes.
For the Laughing Tap this weekend.
Correct.
For the New Year's Eve show.
Correct.
Mr. Nate Craig.
Yes.
Is going to join us. And fun fact, as I think you probably told me this, but I was not listening. He is a Wisconsin native.
Thanks, buddy.
And he's not only a Wisconsin native and a UW-Madison graduate, he also went to Madison West, which is my high school. And I'm just hoping that he is either significantly older, or at least 4 years older or younger than me, because I don't remember going to school with him. So I'm just hoping that I'm not the jerk who didn't know him in high school.
Oh boy, I can't wait for sparks and fireworks to fly. He's gonna be like, hey, Chris, remember that time at the pep rally when blah 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 blah, and you'd be like, yeah, totally, guy Nate, person with the last name, because I don't listen to Greg when he talks.
But he is a very successful comedian and actor. He made it out of Wisconsin to LA. It is touring, is starring on shows. And so, you know, just a reminder of where he's from. We're going to play How Wisconsin Is It, where we read some of the top very Wisconsin stories of 2022,
yeah.
And Nate will come up with an arbitrary rating of how he ranks it.
Here I was going to say we spent long, hard hours in our scientific labs here at Asgos, Wisconsin, to come up with the best rating system, but you blew that out of the water, too.
Just ruining everything today. And then at 1:30, we're going to fill out the annual headline of the year bracket, and there's some doozies. This is not Wisconsin headlines. This is international headlines. But maybe some of them you remember. Maybe some of them you're hearing for the first time. All of them are true, but ridiculous.
Yeah.
So we will fill that out. And that's going to be the show. But to start off with, I feel like the story of the day is airline service.
Ooh, Mother Glory. Oh, Mother Glory.
I got a text from my best friend, our Thursday regular guest, Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who lives in Colorado.
Oh, they were in Vegas, weren't they?
They were in Vegas. And he texted me Monday and said, be glad you never have to travel out of state for the holidays anymore. And I think that is,
yes,
especially this year, very true. In marrying a Wisconsin boy, our travel is limited to driving. And I don't have to deal with ever getting on a plane anymore and missing the holidays because a lot of people, specifically if you were flying Southwest, did not have that luxury.
I have three people in my family who got messed over by Southwest.
Really?
Yeah. My brother-in-law, his flight here was smooth. His flight back got just, see, this is fine. Just got delayed. Okay. Delayed. He got out. He's back in San Francisco. Good to go. My sister-in-law, she got here great in the face of the storm, too, which we were surprised about. Then it turned out her flight was delayed, then canceled again. And now she's driving back to D.C. She has to go to Rockford to get a car because it was the only place she could find a one-way car service. Drive all the way back to D.C. on the 2nd of next month, which she was supposed to leave tomorrow. And then my brother-in-law, actually, I used to say her partner, my brother-in-law, I consider him, he got his flight delayed, canceled. Then they said, we can get you in at Christmas Day at 10:30 p.m. He had to leave at 8:30 the next day. So, I mean, it's just one after another after another. And so you're right. I am so happy. All I have to do is drive. All I have to do is drive.
I know. Well, we want to hear for your horror stories. 844-967-2789, specifically your flight horror stories when you've gotten stranded or canceled or, you know, somewhere where you had a layover and you were stuck there. Because I think a lot, we have some, you know, commiserate with some of the people who really got screwed this past week because, and it's specific, I'm feeling a little nervous because this sounds like it's, you know, not just a, for Southwest, from what I've read, this isn't just a weather thing because something like 80% of the canceled flights were their flights. So somehow the other airlines were able to figure this out.
Yeah.
No, so the Southwest Airlines accounted for 85% of canceled domestic flights Tuesday, drawing the attention of U.S. regulators and lawmakers amid a days-long meltdown of holiday air travel that began with a winter storm last week. So this sounds like less about weather.
Yeah.
It's obviously that was the catalyst for what started it, but it sounds like they're booking, their systems are out of date.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't invested in actually being able to, like, it was just a trigger effect of not knowing where staff was and flight attendants were and where they were, like, in real time. So everything was backlogged. And just there was, like, people, I think they released something that said people were sick. And so now they're going to have some kind of system where you have to have a doctor's note or something.
Yep.
But it just, but the bigger issue is here, what I think is, and this goes for the entire year, I feel like one of the top stories of 2022 is canceled flights. Because while this is terrible, I mean, I heard something that since in the last week, it's like 13,000 flights of Southwest flights have been canceled. And but the whole year, I feel like every major holiday weekend of 2022, there was some big story of people stranded, flights canceled. And, you know, I remember listening to one podcast that was trying to explain it's partially because, you know, they laid off so many people or furloughed so many people or encouraged people to retire during 2020. And there were still backlogs and all these different things. But ultimately, this is an industry that has been bailed out with taxpayer dollars multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
during the pandemic, there was three separate statutes that the 10 major U.S. passenger airlines received, and it was more than $54 billion in total. And so ultimately, what is due to consumers and to passengers when you totally screw them over because you haven't made the investments in your systems to make sure that things can run smoothly when there's inevitably weather?
Yeah. Well, I feel like at the end of the day that the answer to your question is zero, because at the end of the day, they always get their money and then they manage to pass the increases onto us, whether it's, you know, you have to pay for every bag. Like Southwest,
well, Southwest,
is all about,
yeah.
Southwest is all about like your first two bags are free, but it's like, that's fine, but I can't get on a plane and go home. So who cares about my bags? But I always feel like the airline industry, no matter how much money they get from us, the taxpayers, still manage to jack those prices up. I mean, they jacked those prices up after 9/11. They jacked those prices up after the pandemic was starting to slow down and people were traveling. I mean, flights were so expensive after the pandemic to like places like St. Louis. So I feel like they're not doing anything for this, and they don't ever plan on doing anything because at the end of the day, they don't have to. We need them. They need us, but we need them more because we have to fly. And people aren't going to be like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to take boats now. You can hear well, James like, laughing in the you know,
Wisconsin to San Francisco is going to be a great trip on a boat.
Oh, I'd love it.
Well, and it's also frustrating because at least if you live on the East Coast, there's a pretty comprehensive train system, right?
Yeah.
Like if you can get from D.C. to New York, New York to Boston via train, that doesn't exist in for most of the country, at least in not an efficient manner.
It could have. Thanks, Scott Walker.
I know.
It could have.
It could. It still can.
It's. I mean, yes. I mean, that would be a train that took you from St. Louis all the way up to Minneapolis, even into Canada. That would be an amazing system.
Well, this is one of the stories we covered a couple weeks ago that in France, I mean, this is largely because of the because of climate change. They've limited if it's a 2.5 hour. I forgot if it's a 2.5 hour flight or a 2.5 hour train ride. No more domestic flights that are in that time span.
I think if the duration is 2.5 hours for a train, they don't have a flight for it.
Yeah. So basically, like if there's a domestic destination that you could take a train, they're no longer offering services to just take the puddle jumper plane. Which in this country, one, I think people would riot.
Yeah.
But two, wouldn't work because we don't have that train system anymore.
No, we don't have a train system. But also over there, it's even worse because like. You can hop a flight for $70. It's so common to be like, oh, I'm going to take a flight from the lower half of England to Scotland or to Ireland, and it's going to cost you very little money, and you're going to be there in a couple hours. Just don't check a bag. Don't take... Ryanair, we're better than Southwest.
Boy, that's low praise now.
that's the problem is I have a Southwest credit card. I have points. I'm using them next month. I'm going to New Orleans.
Well, Mike's business card is a Southwest card. And that's how we chose where we went for our honeymoon, just because we're like, well, let's go somewhere that Southwest flies to because let's use these points instead of paying more money. So we are, for the foreseeable future, stuck with this airline desperately needs to update their systems.
Dude, yeah. Tell me about it.
Well, we got to take our first break, but we still want to hear from you. What is your horror story when it comes to airlines? Where you were too stuck? How were you treated? 844-967-2789. I have mine. Greg, do you have one?
I have one. Minor, but I hope
Jane, do you have one? All right. Oh, yeah. So you'll hear ours, but we desperately want to hear from you because that's more fun. 844-967-2789. We will be right back.
Hump day.
It's hump day.
Hump day.
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Mike. What day is it, Mike?
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Join Max Inc. Radio this New Year's Eve as we present live at thespaceship.tv. Max Inc. Radio will broadcast live from the spaceship.tv studios 6 p.m. to midnight, plus live performances from the Civil Engineers. And the Zeros. And Porky's Groove Machine.
Who's there, the Spice Girls? Muy caliente.
Oh,
live streaming video at thespaceship.tv and live on this Civic Media station. Let's party New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m. live from thespaceship.tv. Happy New Year's from Civic Media and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High temperatures reach up to 39 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. Southerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 36 tonight. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 46. Dry with temps a bit above average Friday and Saturday, and highs in the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
With Kristen Bry and Greg Bach, because it's Wednesday. We are talking about our horror stories when it comes to flying, and we'd love to hear from you. Shoot us a text, give us a call, 844-967-2789, because what should we title this? The Southwest Meltdown of 2022?
I think they've already done that, and someone on Twitter said a Southwest Meltdown is something I would definitely order in a restaurant.
That's true. That's a good one.
That's a good sandwich. I imagine what that sandwich already looks like.
Friend of the show, very dear friend of mine, Ariel Elias, she tweeted this morning. She goes, Southwest is the most relatable flight because I cancel on everyone in the winter, too. comedians, you guys.
They're so funny.
So I'm trying to think of my worst one. And the two that come to mind, one I feel like isn't worst because we figured it out.
Yeah.
But short story was, it was flying for Dr. Mike's wedding in 2021. We had a Southwest flight out of Milwaukee, got there, it was canceled, and there was no flight to get to Denver until the next day or something like that. And it was the middle of the summer, so it wasn't weather. So we end up booking a United flight, driving to Madison in time to catch the same United flight my parents were taking also to go to the wedding. And it all worked out. But the worst one, I think, actually, and it wasn't even anyone's fault. It was just the circumstances. So this is not supposed to be a humble brag, but I had gone to Bali. Went to Bali, and there's no easy way to get to Bali in Indonesia. Like, you have to either fly through, you know, Japan. Or I forgot. Where did we fly through? Singapore? No, it was Philippines.
Detroit.
Philippines, okay. Yes. Also Detroit. And so we were coming back, and we had like an 8-hour layover in the Filipino airport. I forgot what the major city was, but you couldn't leave the one terminal you were in.
Mm-hmm.
And we had spent all of our money, like our cash money that was in whatever the Indonesian currency was. And none of the vendors in there took card.
Oh, boy.
So for 8 hours, we were just sitting there. I couldn't get any food. There was nothing you could buy to help, like, spend the time.
What was your level of hangry?
Oh, so bad. So bad. And so that wasn't really, like, an airline mistake, but that was by far the worst layover ever because, you know, it's a time to consume stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I was just, you couldn't, I literally, because, like, they had, like, really cheap massages, couldn't do that. It was awful.
Yeah.
What's yours?
I mean, I was lucky. I've been lucky. My flights have been relatively painless over my lifetime. The worst one ever was, we were flying out of Wisconsin. It was so cold. It wasn't snowing, but it was so cold that the plane had completely frozen over. The wings were frozen. So they start, and so we're sitting there and we're waiting and we're waiting for like a couple hours. And all of a sudden we're just sitting there and this orangish liquid starts pouring all over the plane. And I'm like, this looks like gasoline. What is happening right now? And they doused the entire plane with a de-icing agent. Mm. But I feel like that's something you should tell everybody. Hey, what we're doing right now, we're going to de-ice the plane. So if you see some liquid, we're fine. Not like my first thought was, oh, we're going to explode on the tarmac. And then my coworker I was with, he goes, I'll show what we're going to do when we land. And he goes, well, he actually didn't show me. He just went to the desk and he goes, there's me and two other guys. He goes, I got us all each two free flight vouchers. I'm like, how did you do that? He goes, you got to know the system. I'm like, can you teach me the system? And I got two free flight vouchers and my plane did not explode. So
that sounds like a good story.
It's a good story, but that's like, honestly, like, with the exception of like going to San Francisco and showing up early and they're like, oh, your flight's been delayed by 7 hours. Let me just sit in the San Francisco. And then they gave us snacks.
Which, depending on what year it was.
It was like 2016, 2017.
So maybe that was before SFO became basically the nicest airport in the country.
Yes, because that's very.
Because now it's very.
That's
nice.
Very recently. Yes, that's yeah.
I could live there now.
When we went there, dump.
Yeah.
But we just sat there, and then after a while, they were like, "Well, let's get them some cookies." And then we're like, "Can we have some money too, or a sandwich, or?"
I know. What's yours, Jane?
Mine's kind of long. I don't know if we have time. 1989, I traveled with the Racine Theater Guild on a community theater exchange to the country of Georgia. This was before perestroika. This was before things had loosened up between the U.S. and Russia. So you still needed a visa So on our way back from Georgia, after we'd been there for 2 weeks, we get to the Moscow airport and we're on Yugoslav Airlines and the flight is canceled. No one speaks English. No one knows what's going on. We can't leave the terminal because our visas have expired now. So we can't go outside anymore. And at one point, they said, okay, if you want to go stay overnight at a hotel, everybody has to leave now. Well, we have a group of 50 people, and they're all over the place. And it was like, nope, immediately, if you don't leave now. So we were stuck at the Moscow airport for 36 hours. Sleeping on the floor. One of my compatriots had a sign. It was because Yacht Airlines, it was JAT. We had a big yacht in a red circle with a slash through it.
That's right. Endear yourself to the locals.
Oh, it gets even better. Two of us got called to like the airport manager's office because we can been complaining about no water, no food, no nothing, no vouchers. And this very not happy Russian is like, are you not happy? This is not going. We are not treating you well. This is not good. And Corey, I remember, was with me and is like, no, this is not good. This is terrible. This is not how you treat people.
And you're like, shut up, Corey. Shut up,
I know.
Corey.
It's like, we got to get back through passport control and our visas are expired.
Oh, my gosh. All right. You win. It's not a contest, but you win.
And with the birds flying around over your head and everything in the airport as you're trying to sleep or get something to eat, it was choice.
Welcome to Yugoslav Airport.
No, this was Moscow.
Moscow
Airport. Have a good time. Don't come back.
You have half sandwich, you be hippie.
And on that note, we're going to a break.
I gotta get away.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
CBS News Brief. Southwest Airlines is canceling more flights today and causing more chaos for holiday travelers. Joss Havens stuck in Philly.
To get an email while we're on the train that the flight had been canceled. I mean, the flight's in 2 hours. I've been waiting for 5 days, and now we're not going anywhere.
At least 60 people have died in this winter storm, most in upstate New York, where authorities fear that number could go up. Erie County Executive Mark Pollenkars.
We are fearful that there are individuals who may have perished, especially those that still don't have power. But any place that lost power, the National Guard is going to come down.
Pope Francis is now asking for prayers for former Pope Benedict, who's 95 and very sick. CBS's Chris Livesay is in Rome.
The Vatican says Pope Francis went to visit Pope Benedict in the monastery where he's been staying ever since he resigned back in 2013.
He's the first to resign in more than six centuries. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Natmere with your headlines. Wheat Energy is assuring customers they do plan for events like last week when they asked consumers to turn down their heat to help conserve natural gas supplies. To make up for the 30% supply decrease, Wheat Energy's tapped into their own reserves to balance out distribution. This is the first time the company has faced this specific issue. They say their response plan worked. No customers went without heat. The U.S. military is having trouble recruiting. The Wisconsin Army National Guard's goal was about 1,000 new recruits this year. The Guard's Lieutenant Colonel Shannon Hellebrand telling WPR recruitment numbers are around 25% below this year's target, both across the country and here at home. Another issue is that fewer people can meet the eligibility requirements. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Warning, listening to the devil's advocates may expose you to opposing views.
It's scary. Maybe I'm coming a little bit more over the left, but...
Well, it's not left, it's good governance, Steve.
It's good to be exposed to different ideas, and I do appreciate that you do put that out there on the airways, because a lot of times where you just get a little soundbite of this or a little bit of that, and that's the end of it. You're to be commended for that.
Dave, I'm glad you finally come around to commending the greatest radio show ever, man.
Follow the devil's advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Welcome back to Ask Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. If you miss any part of today's show, and why would you ever miss any part of... Why do you not dedicate 3 hours of your day every day listening to this?
What, do you have a life? Come on.
But...
I feel attacked right now.
I know. Don't forget, my mom did. I asked my mom while I was home. I was like, how much of my show every day do you think you listen to? And she said she's good for certainly an hour.
Yeah.
Two at most. She's like, I rarely can listen to the whole thing. I have... things to do.
Well, shout out to fair. Mrs. Bry for listening to the most important day of the week. It's Wednesday.
That's
when,
true.
When I'm here.
Greg Bach, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Again, if you miss any part of today's show, though, you can always go back and listen to it as a podcast. You can also subscribe so you always get it to your Apple or your Spotify. And when there's
your
new
Google.
Your Googles. And so when there's a new episode, which is daily, and then we do a best of on the weekends... And we post the individual interviews. We have a lot of content. You can do that on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts. As always, you can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. All right. Well, we're going to get to some headlines that caught our eye. And this first one, I think is... It's not... I would say it's interesting, but it's not necessarily substantial because it's all... just words for now.
As most things are.
No, sometimes there's action that is backed up by the words, but sometimes it's like, this is what we're planning to do, and you know, we'll see if it actually happens. But you brought this to my attention. We've talked about this before. The state Republican Party has elected a new chairman, Brian Schimming, who is a very long-standing political activist for the Republican Party. He was in, I think, Tommy Thompson's campaign or was in his administration at one point or another. But I don't think this was the day you were here, but the Cap Times opinion board wrote a very hopeful op-ed saying, because of kind of his long-standing and being that kind of Tommy Thompson era Republican, maybe he can hone in or rein in the extremism and some of the more, I don't know if it's like culture war stuff that's not necessarily good. It's good for the base, but it's not good for Wisconsin. And you can see that reflected in statewide races. Republicans have not necessarily been winning. And you found this article from Bill Glauber, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, saying that he's basically, so far, he being Brian Schimming, is saying that's kind of what he's thinking. That's his train of thought.
The quote that's in the first paragraph of the story, he says, "I'm not coming over here to milk sacred cows," which I think is a very telling thing. Because I think right now, as far as Republicans go, there—I mean, that very much is true. There is these topics that you either are for or against. That's it. There's no gray area. There's no anything. It's, you are either for or against. And if you are against it and is with us, you are with us. If you, you know, if you even say like, "Well, I believe I have some pro-choice leanings," get out of our party. You know, like it's. I think it sounds like what he wants to do, and I'm hoping, like as you said, they're words right now. They're not actions at this point. Is take that Republican Party and bring it back to somewhere towards the center, somewhere towards, you know, workability, compromise. Now, he can do that all he wants. I mean, he only has so much power with the party itself. He can't tell lawmakers in Madison what to do. I mean, he can suggest, he can say, hey, this is what we're trying to do. And they're like, yeah, that's great, cool. I'm going to go ahead and keep saying that January 6th was a patriotic act and the election was stolen. But it seems like this guy wants to bring it back to a more level-headed area,
which would be great.
Which would be absolutely great. I mean, I would love to see that. But something you hear every single time people talk about politics is there's no compromise, there's no talking, so much fighting, and that's not untrue. But what are we going to do about it? And if this is what he wants to do, if this is what Brian wants to do, I mean, I think that's great. It seems like he's got a lot of influence amongst the party, both locally, statewide, and nationally, which is great. He's got respectability. But at the end of the day, how much power can he really have if, you know, the overall census is, you know, we want to keep doing what we're doing and keep going further if we have to.
Do you think that's the census?
I don't think so, honestly. I think if one thing we've learned from the 2022 midterms is I think that Republicans, and I'm not a Republican, and if there are any listening right now, please let us know, because if you're listening to this show, I have to imagine that you... Unless you're hate listening right now, but
that's not true. I sometimes get comments. I actually got a Merry Christmas from someone on as a DM on Instagram. I can't think of his name right now. That he says, "You're my favorite liberal."
Oh, that's great.
Account to follow.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, he's like, "I'm more conservative, but I appreciate your." So we have some conservative listeners.
So that's I think after the 2022 election, the midterms, I think one thing we've really learned here is that there is some burnout. That there is, I mean, you can only fly that flag for so long where you're getting burnt out yourself. You only have so much time in the day. And at one point you got to come back to the base ideas, not just the base itself, but the base ideas. Like, what are we for? We're for smaller government, limited taxes, more freedom. And I'm not saying that as a joke either. Like these are the things that, you know, mostly like I am pro-life, but I'm also not a monster. Can we get back to that? Can we get back to talking? Can we get back to compromise? Is there a chance? If that's what you want, that sounds great. And if that's what Brian can bring to that party, I think that's going to be helpful for this state.
I agree.
Especially in terms of things like education. When you got Governor Evers wanting to propose a $2 billion education plan in the new year, can he get on board and say, hey, there are good points to this package, instead of having people saying, nope, sorry, nope, we're not going to do it because it's a liberal spending thing. It's like, no, there's some good things in there. Okay, let's try to make it work.
Because I also feel like maybe I'm making this up, but I think I saw it on Wisp Politics yesterday that, even Robin Voss is kind of, it was an interview that he, like, what hill he's going to die on for certain stuff when it comes. I think, for the flat tax, because I feel like that's starting, and that would be a good person to get. We could get maybe someone from Wisconsin Policy Forum to explain the pros and cons of a flat tax, because as far as I understand, it is something that certainly really only benefits the wealthy.
Yeah.
And, but it sounds like he doesn't think that there's going to be much action on an abortion bill before the spring election, but also that he's not going to die on the hill for a flat tax. And so I think it'll be interesting now that they have Evers for another 4 years. He also said, I think in the same interview, that it wouldn't really make much sense to reintroduce the bills that Evers vetoed last time. So potentially maybe we're moving into a world that's a little bit more compromising to actually get things moving forward and done, instead of just calculating in a way that doesn't give it either side. It's like no one can have a win. So everybody loses.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope so. I really do. But I also do think that at the end of the day, you also need to elect good, good leaders into the offices. I mean, I have a lot of opinions on Robin Voss.
I know you do.
And
be nice.
I'm not going to be mean. But based on his previous time in office, I don't see that happening on his watch. Mm-hmm. Just because he is who he is, he's built this empire for himself. Fine. If you could get a more level-headed, more workable Republican in that district to run, which will never happen. He won this primary. He didn't win it by a lot, which says something. It says something a lot that he didn't win by a massive landslide in the primary. But if you can get someone who's going to come in and say, like, I want to work with the Democrats. I want to work with the governor. I want to make things happen. I'm not here to just say no. I'm not here to red stamp everything that comes across the way and gavel out special meetings in 12 seconds. That would make me happy. That would make me very excited. That's something that where it's like, oh, I wouldn't be upset for my family voting for this person. But we have who we have in medicine, so.
I do think, though, and Kristen and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, Greg.
I'm Greg.
I think Craig's coming up later. I think there must have been some amount of shaming and calling these people to actually get them to do anything. And I'm looking at the example of Fred Bad Cottage Cheese Prenn stepping down from the National DNR. You know, your expiration date is 2 years old. Get out of here.
And I feel like you just wanted to bring that topic up again.
It makes me happy. But I do think that they must have heard from enough constituents. It's like, enough is enough. You guys haven't done anything.
Yeah. And I think one of the things, you know, I'm going back to Robin Voss and actually I'm not going to praise him, but this whole thing with the investigation in January 6th, or I'm not January 6th, the election.
The election, the Gableman.
The fact that he kind of just said, like, I'm washing my hands of this. We're done. Like, he's not, I think that says a lot, that he might not be like, hey, I want to work with liberals, but he's like, hey, we need to move forward.
Like, this isn't getting us anywhere.
This is nothing. We spent so much money on this and it's gotten us nothing. It is nothing.
Well, and to go back to what you said, Jane, tomorrow, Susan Yackey from the La Follette School of Public Affairs, I always forget if it's public affairs or public administration at UW, is going to be on, because she was part of the Main Street Agenda project, which it was WPR, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and La Follette School. And they had a survey that I think like a couple thousand people in Wisconsin took, but then they also had in-person town halls. And one of the big takeaways from that, there's a lot of different takeaways, but one of the big takeaways was, especially when you get in person, people would sit on stage and they'd have very different opinions, because this is Wisconsin and it is a 50-50 state. Mm-hmm. And not only could they sit on stage and disagree, but they actually enjoyed having the conversation. Mm-hmm. And so, and one of the big takeaways is people are sick of the fighting. They're sick of things not getting done. They're sick of, in the election cycles, this isn't just Wisconsin, this is what they found, that in the election cycles, they were talking about issues that don't really matter, because they're, you know, they like stuff that riles people up, but it actually isn't what's affecting their lives. And so I think that is true. But again, it goes back to the common theme of, if you only have two choices and they only have to make the other guys look so much worse than you, that's the system that we live in. And so we all want it to be a little bit more compromising and productive while still advocating for the policy that you think is best or prioritizing the things that you think are the biggest problems to be solved. But sheesh, yeah, this like divide and conquer. And as long as we get one more vote than you, we're just going to ram in our agenda. Just doesn't feel like it's representative for a state that like ultimately like you got to try to serve everyone. And also, ideally.
And at the end of the day, it's a plan that's not working. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't help. It doesn't do anything. I think one of the things in the because I've seen this in other, I've seen Republican operatives being interviewed on other shows, and they mentioned this in the article too, is one of the things that Republicans really need to do is embrace the early voting.
Mm-hmm.
They spend so much time and money demonizing it, making it seem like it is the greatest national threat around, when in fact it wasn't, and people voted and in mass numbers early. And that's something that there's no reason why they can't embrace. There's nothing wrong with it. And I'm wondering if that message starts to make its way between now and the presidential in 2024, will you see the bags coming up off of those ballot boxes? Will you see a little more engagement from people and just saying like, it's early voting. I'm going to mail in my ballot, or maybe we can even pass a law that says, hey, when you're 18, you're automatically registered to vote and everybody gets a ballot. It's not a threat.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a threat unless you think, oh, people who do that are just liberals. That's wrong.
Yeah.
If you give them the opportunity to be easy and to be fast, people are going to take those and they're going to vote for whomever. So, yeah, I'm hoping that maybe this will be a move towards leaning back and loosening some of those restrictive voting laws we saw happening all over the country in lieu of 2020, which was just, insulting as an American citizen to see happen.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
And I feel like as I'm trying to do a roundup for tomorrow, because it feels at an opportune time since we will not have a rerun on Friday, but trying to do different 22 roundup, both national stories and also Wisconsin stories. I mean, certainly, I think there's an argument to me that one of the main Wisconsin stories was all of this election stuff 2 years later. And so we will see what that happens. Well, that took... that's the only headline we even got to.
That was the only thing that happened.
That's the only thing that happened in this country this week.
Joe Biden took a week off. He's sleeping right now. That wasn't a sleepy Joe joke. That was just, he's taking a rest. He's the president. He got to rest up.
All right. Well, when we come back, a different kind of chess update.
Oh, no.
It's not what you think it is.
Oh, God.
It's actually a happy one. Oh, and it has nothing to do with sex toys.
Oh, well, bummer.
How's that for a tease? All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick with us. Look very carefully. It may be you.
The energy call today was used to meet as you lost every time. John Bishop is waving to the crowd. All the rest of St. Paul Gospel Talk today. We'll have to wait and see. I'll call you back later.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lierley helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
High temperatures reach up to 39 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. Southerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 36 tonight. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 46. Dry with temps a bit above average Friday and Saturday, and highs in the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a text. Give us a call. Do we have a text?
We do have a text. We were talking a little bit last couple minutes about Robin Voss and the Republican legislature and whether or not they're actually going to get anything done this year. Texter from the 608 checking in. I'm not sure I'd give Robin Voss much credit for acting reasonable. I just think he knows election denial and game playing is a loser with a lot of voters, especially as we look ahead to the Supreme Court election.
But honestly, that's a win's a win. Right. If it's proven, if that's what forces him to be more reasonable or come to the table and compromise and negotiate, because like just putting your foot down and refusing to even, and I understand that it potentially goes both ways. When that came out earlier this year that they hadn't talked, Evers' office and LeMahieu and Voss hadn't talked in months, maybe even over a year. And I don't know I'm sure there's a little bit on both sides is stubbornness and stuff like that. But that's unacceptable to not do the leaders of one party and the leaders of the legislature to just not talk to the governor because they can't, or they just like refuse to.
You
like
hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Comes back as like it can be seen as a point of weakness. I met with a friend a long time ago and he said, this is back in DC. They said, the congressmen don't talk to each other. The only people who talk to each other are the people behind the scenes because they can, because they won't get judged for doing it, because it comes out, oh, so-and-so talked to so-and-so. Why are they doing that? They shouldn't have to talk to screw them. It's just seen as a path of weakness. And I give credit to Robin Voss. Don't give credit to Robin Voss. He crunched the numbers and he did what was in his best interest. And it just so happens to be something that can work for everyone else. So I will give him half credit.
Okay. All right. Well, this is a more fun headline. So if you've been listening to this program, when did you start? I feel like this dates
December 12th, 1977.
Yes, there you go.
This goes back a ways.
This goes back a ways. Was this maybe even August? Was this before my wedding?
I think it was
yes. It's definitely before your wedding.
So the chess scandal that rocked the chess world, we were keeping close tabs on that throughout.
For like 4 weeks.
Longer than that, I think. There was just constant updates. But this is another chess update that has nothing to do with that scandal, but is just a feel-good story that I wanted to highlight for no other reason, just because we talk about chess in the show and because I think it's a really good story. But there is his name's Tani Adewumi. Hopefully I said that right. He's Nigerian. But he rose to sudden stardom at the age of 8 for his striking chess skills. He beat 73 opponents and clinched the New York State Chess Championship for his division. At the time, in 2019, he was living with his family in a homeless shelter while he was winning all of these contests. Jeez. As an 8-year-old, because his family had moved to New York from Nigeria in 2017 seeking religious asylum after his family, who is devoutly Christian, was threatened by the terrorist group Boko Haram and forced to flee the country. So at 10, he was named National Master, and his current title is it FIDE? FIDE Master, a prestigious designation awarded by the International Chess Governing Body. And now at 12, Tani and his family were just officially granted asylum in the United States.
I will watch this movie when it's made.
I know, right? There's some books already. Yeah, like when you Google his name, there's some. He's gotten a lot of press over time, but it's such a good story. Yeah. Congratulations to him and his family for finally getting asylum. I mean, that's such a long, right? This is I mean, this is not even touching on the Title 42 things that are going on in the Supreme Court and how that's been extended and how many people are, you know, at the border and the mess that that all is. But think about that. His family's been here since 2017 and has taken, despite his success and his kind of media darling of this prodigy, 5 years in this like limbo status of they're not citizens. They haven't been granted asylum. Like that's how long it takes to try to go through this process.
Yeah.
And so on one hand, congratulations to them. That's such a great story. It's shocking. It blows my mind to think about a 10 or 12 year old being that smart. But also just a reminder of how long and painstakingly slow our immigration and asylum seeking processes are.
And that's, you know, when I think about that process, which I know very little about, I will totally admit, but I just know it's long. It's heartbreakingly long. When people sit there and say things like, well, if these people just want to come into our country, do it. Why don't they just do it the right way? It's like, do you know how long the right way
takes?
And
how expensive.
How expensive and how easy. It's like they can do everything correct. They can fill out all the right paperwork, go to all the right locations, talk to all the right people. And then they can just at one point be like, nope, you're done. And you got to go back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to get into the discussion of the process of people coming here in non-law abiding ways, but I understand it. They want to get away from terrible places and they want to come here because they feel like it's a better place. And that's great. Is there anything we can do to make it just a skosh easier, just a little bit easier for people? Or is the process supposed to be hard and long because people are like, well,
it's supposed to be a deterrent.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, it also just feels like
I don't mean to make this topic depressing.
This was supposed to be a fun topic. but I do think that there's something to be said as far as both sides, both Democrats and Republicans, constantly running on fixing immigration, fixing immigration. There's constantly talks about how immigration can solve some of our declining population problems and our workforce problems, and that there is people, like you said, who want, like, why can't they just come legally? Well, the actual process of doing that legally, there's very few avenues that even allow you to do that. You basically have to seek asylum, have a family member sponsor you, get married, although that might be considered the same bucket, have your work sponsor you or and school. And I think that's it.
And I think
so. You can't just come here.
And I'm wondering if I'm not saying the kid didn't earn these titles. I'm never saying that. The kid is 50 miles smarter than I am, but I'm wondering if the chess community came together and said, we need to do everything we can for him to put in the paperwork. He is a viable citizen. He's a viable person to allow to stay in your country because of these things. He can do great things. He's inspired. I don't know.
Like maybe they helped them navigate the system.
Yeah, exactly. And if they did, awesome. And that's where we can say, like, that's the happiness of it. I feel like when a story has Boko Haram in it, it's not always so happy. So no.
Well, and if you're looking for some inspiration, just go on Google or YouTube and Google chess kids. There are videos from some of these chess tournaments where they're playing multiple people at the same. It's remarkable. It's remarkable. You will be so impressed and so excited for these kids.
Do you think you're just born that way?
Yes.
I think your brain's wired that way.
Yes.
Because I think your brain is wired not so much to be like, you will be great at chess. I think your brain is wired in a way that you have, because you can be good at chess, but it's like any other, we were talking about this before, sport versus, you know, competition, that kind of thing. It's like any other sport, if you will, where you have to learn and study and get into it and like read all the old matches. You're not just good one day.
All right. Well, we are going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, Brett Poliquin, Director of Development and Marketing of Habitat for Humanity of Waukesha County, is going to be here. Stay around.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Knucklehead CBD and Vapes is now online at knuckleheads.shop. Step into your favorite smoke shop without leaving your home. Find grinders, papers, Delta 8, and more, all from your computer or phone. With free shipping on all orders over $50, you'll be sure to find exactly what you like. You can also order for in-store pickup, so there's no wait. Knucklehead CBD and Vapes.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue.
Order online today at knuckleheads.shop.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.